As a new born-again Christian in 1975, one of the first things God taught me was Matthew 11, verse 30. This shows you the will of God. If you're doing something, it can show you whether or not it is the path of God that you're on. Matthew 11, 30. God's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. The world loves to accomplish difficult things. That's the flesh of man. And they like to say, don't give up, don't give up. Keep fighting, keep doing this, keep doing this. They teach you that in school from the beginning. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, to the wisdom of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to Scripture, to the Word of God. When you read Matthew 11, 30, that's going to be exactly opposite from everything you've been taught in school. God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. When I moved to Colorado, I needed someone to set up the sound system in my bedroom. I called a person in Denver who could just do wonderful things with sound systems. He began telling me what he could do. It was so complex and difficult. I knew he was not the person that God wanted me to go with on this situation. If something is very, very complex, overly expensive, very difficult, you can know you're not in the path of God, for God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you find yourself in a situation like that, the thing to do is just put the project on hold and do James 1:5. Ask God for his wisdom. And when a plan comes to you, if it's the plan of God, it's going to be easy to be entreated. James chapter 3, verse 17 tells us what the characteristics of the wisdom from above are. Let's look at that. Well, first, let's look at James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So if it's terribly difficult, if it's overly expensive, beyond my reach to do it, I just put it on hold, turn to God, and say, please give me wisdom about this project. And it says right here in James 1:5, it shall be given you. But everything is done by faith. If you don't have any faith that God will do this scripture for you, it's not going to be done for you. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, you have to pray in faith. Otherwise, let that man know not anything will be done for him if he has no faith in God. Let's look at verse 6 of James chapter 1. We'll read verse 5 again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Promise of God. But let him ask in faith. See, I believe verse 5 is right. It is true. I believe if I ask God for wisdom, He will give me wisdom on that project. But if you don't believe, it won't be done for you. If you can't pray in faith, then you've got a problem. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'm going to turn a minute to that story about the cancer Paget had. God had moved me to Colorado to live in the home of Pam Paget. She has a spiritual gift of helps, and she helps me. I'm 86 years old, and I can walk a little bit with a walker, and that's it. And she helps me. So then she's diagnosed with cancer, a very severe bladder cancer, and her doctor says she will only live a year or two without treatment. And the doctor wanted to remove the bladder and do chemotherapy. Pam didn't mind having chemotherapy, but she didn't want to live on this earth without a bladder for the rest of her life. She saw a statement in something written by a cancer specialist, and it said, chemotherapy and radiation often accomplishes the same purpose that is sought for with chemotherapy and surgical removal of the bladder. That was an answer to Pam's prayer, because she had prayed and she asked God, if there was any other way to do this, please show her. When she saw that statement, she went to the doctor and said, I've seen this statement from the Cancer Society doctors, and I would like to have chemotherapy with radiation and not have the surgery. The doctor said in her case, she didn't believe that it would work. Five people were on Pam's medical team, doctors and medical people. Not one of them thought it would work. But one of them agreed to do it if she had peace about it. And he said, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. He said, so am I. She said she'd prayed and had peace that this is the way to go. So he said, well, I'll change the treatment, the chemotherapy, to fit radiation. And apparently he talked to the other doctors, and this is the way they went. After the treatments were over, when she went back in to be examined as to what had happened, the doctor warned her that even if there was some cancer left, they could treat it, they could do certain things. As he examined her, he said, this is great. This is great. Three times he said, this is great. There is no cancer. She's had several follow-up exams, and there's never been cancer. It's gone. Well, it's exactly what God showed me. There were three masses of cancer, and there was a loud swooshing sound, like whoosh, and it just fell in on itself and disappeared. Pam had faith, I had faith, but we never once prayed together over the situation. I prayed a very serious prayer from James chapter 1. Verse 17, if you'll look at that for a minute, I prayed a very serious prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual means legal, based upon scripture, something very legal, and fervent is red hot. Nobody can pray as fervently as you. I never understand people wanting to send prayer requests to some minister when no one's going to care about you as much as you do. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I knew God put me in Pam's house to live. Now, do you really think he's going to allow Pam to be killed? Well, I didn't, especially based on this scripture. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I said to God, the Bible says with you there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You're not going to let this happen. I depend on Pam, both for the ministry work as well as even my food, because she brings me my food daily. We have 6 animals. I can't feed the animals even. I'm not even able to do that. They depend on Pam. But you're not going to put me at her home and then let her die of cancer. That's illegal. That won't happen. Now that's an effectual, fervent prayer based on scripture. And I knew it was based on the will of God. I don't have to have another person pray with me unless God shows me to do that. But he really has never shown me to do that. You pray. You're the one who is fervently involved in the situation. Well, God didn't let Pam die of cancer. Every time she's gone to be examined since the treatment, there's been no sign of cancer. It's gone. Absolutely gone. When I was in the hospital, a young nurse came in and she identified herself as a Christian. And I said, let me ask you a question. When you pray and you have an idea about something, how do you know if that idea is from God? She just looked startled. She said, I don't have any idea. Well, it could be from a devil. It could be from your own will, your own flesh. But when you ask God for something, or ask God to give you wisdom, how do you know if the idea, the plan, is from God? The devil will very quickly move in to give you a plan, and your own flesh has a preference. How do you know the idea isn't your own flesh or a devil? Well, James 3:17 tells us how to evaluate the plans when plans come, how to evaluate to see if they're of God. Let's look at James chapter 3, start at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, verse 17, but the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Sometimes people pretend to feel one way about the thing when they feel another. That is not the wisdom that's from above. It's without hypocrisy. But it's easy to be entreated, peaceable, gentle. So if it's overly expensive, terribly complex, overly difficult to do, I would feel pretty sure I wasn't going in the plan of God. I would hopefully stop, pause on the project, turn to God, and pray again for wisdom, and pour out my heart before God, telling him I must not be going the right way, and ask him to show me the right way to go, and base it on evaluating it by this verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Here's an example. I had a 25-year-old car, and I looked at it one day and was considering putting new upholstery on that front seat of the car. And as I thought about it, here is what I heard. It came to my mind. Or you could just buy a new car. It's like I was struck by lightning. I just stood there. I'd never considered buying a new car. The wisdom that comes from above is pure. It wasn't my idea. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And he was showing me that God had a better way for me to go than I had planned. I stood there and thought about it, and then I said to the Holy Spirit, "You're right, I could buy a new car." I'd sold my house in Texas. I had almost $300,000 in the bank. I was going to live with Pam Paget in her house. I didn't have any housing expense, except I insisted on paying her monthly, if you want to call it rent, whatever you want to call it. She didn't want to take anything, but I said, no, I won't live here that way. Before the house sold, I paid her $500 a month. After the house sold, I paid her $1,000 a month. I wasn't going to buy another house or anything like that. This almost $300,000 is sitting there in the bank. I could buy a new car. God was showing me, you're going the wrong way with this upholstery thing on a 25-year-old car. You have the money, you can do this. And you are approved to do it. I was, I think, about 83 at that time. I didn't even drive, but Pam would drive. Now, another example. When I lived in Clovis, a young woman ran a stoplight and plowed into the side of my car. It did a lot of damage. Am I going to buy a new car, or am I going to let a car repair person repair the exterior damage done to the car? When I went to look at new cars, which I hadn't looked at in 20 years probably, I was just shocked. The last time I looked at, for example, a new Mercury, the best Mercury, it was going to cost me about $6,000. Now they were $22,000. In that length of time. I didn't know they'd gone up that much. I didn't have $22,000 cash. God had told me when I was born again, get out of debt and stay out of debt. I wasn't going to violate that to buy a car. It was a very easy decision for me to get the car repaired to take it to a body shop. I think it costs about $600 or $700 to repair it. I had the money to repair it. I did not have the money to buy a new car. Later, when I did buy a new car, my contractor's son has said, "Oh, you're like the rest of us now. Now you're in debt." And I said, "No, I'm not. I paid cash for this car. When I had that accident, I began saving money to buy a new car. And when I had the money, I bought the new car. I'm not in debt." Well, he was just shocked. He was a young man about 20 years old who had obviously never lived like that, out of debt, saving money and then buying the object. Debt is not an easy way to go. And it's not even a godly way to go. Deuteronomy 28 says, "You will lend unto many nations, but you shall not borrow." And it says, "I will make you the head and not the tail." Debt is not an easy way. Debt is a lustful way because you want it now. But if you're about to go in debt for something, you might want to read Deuteronomy 28. You could also read Romans 13, verse 8, "Owe no man anything." There's another way to go. Someone was talking to my aunt. It was when I had my car repaired. And she said, "Oh, Joan's dad gave her that car, and so she wants to keep it." Well, that wasn't the truth at all. If I'd had $22,000, I would have bought the new car. But I didn't have the money, and I was not willing to go in debt. And I had the cash to pay for the repair. This is how you evaluate things. God's yoke is easy. His burden is light. And if you're not going that way, if you got a job that you hate and you took it for money, then what I'd do is pray for God to give me wisdom and help me get another job, one that I enjoyed. Pam Padgett has a great story on this. She's a real person of faith. After she got out of college, she took a job at a bank as a secretary because she had good secretarial skills. She liked it for a couple of years, but then she found it boring and she turned to God and said, "Please help me to get another job in some kind of work that I would enjoy." Her boss was a lawyer at the bank, and somebody had given them two desktop computers. And he said to her, "I wish you'd see if you can use it." This was, I think, 1985 or something like that. So she said, "Well, would you let me go to a computer class and learn how to use a computer?" And he said, "Sure." So they looked over the curriculum and they saw a course offered at one of their local colleges, and it was called BASIC. And she and her boss thought it was showing basic skills in computer use. She got into the course the first night, and the professor explained this was a course on programming, basic programming language. It wasn't at all what she thought, but she loved it. And she said, "This is it." She had prayed that God would show her some kind of work that she would enjoy. And she just loved it. And she left that lecture and all the way home was saying, "Thank you, God. I love this. I think this is what I want to do, is computer programming." So she finished the course. She worked for a little computer place writing code. But they had to lay off people, and she was one of the ones laid off. She heard from the Holy Spirit to take a course on interviewing for a job. She sure didn't want to do that, but she did do it. The person teaching the course said, "I know someone who's looking for an entry-level computer programmer, FedEx." So she went to FedEx and interviewed, and she said she didn't get anything right. But one of the managers liked her and hired her. She went to him after she got to know him and said, "Why did you hire me? I didn't know anything." He said, "Oh, Pam, this isn't brain surgery. I could tell you would be a really hard worker, and you were the kind of person I was looking for." And years later, after she retired as a computer programmer at FedEx, Pam has really strong faith, and she goes about faith the same way I do. I understand her. She understands me. So when she got that cancer, I knew what she would do. When she took early retirement, she'd heard a scripture in Micah, and it said, "This is not your rest. It will destroy you." And she knew it pertained to her job at FedEx after she'd worked for them for 20, 25 years. So she took early retirement. One person really was troubled over her early retirement. I was troubled, but I knew she was a person who would have prayed and followed God by faith. And so I didn't say anything negative about it at all. She gave up a high-paying job. I think it was over $100,000 a year. She gave up a high-paying job, not having any prospects to do anything. Within 1 month, God gave me a dream showing me to start a blog. Pam is the person I called to see if she could set up a blog. She said, "Well, I've never done that, but I think I could." Within 3 days, we had a blog. Then I decided to self-publish books on Amazon, and they had certain requirements. Pam was able to set that up. And then I heard to do podcasts, and she found out how to publish podcasts and what equipment we needed and how to do that. And she's done that ever since we started on podcast. She has plenty of work to do. It's volunteer. We don't pay her. I don't even get paid. I quit taking a salary when I became eligible for Social Security. Matthew 11:30, where we started this podcast, "God's yoke is easy and his burden is light." If you are yoked to something that you hate, a job that you hate, you probably followed money into it. If you were in debt, you really probably followed money into it. If you are chained to something that you hate, you know you've yoked yourself to something not of God. That doesn't mean you get a divorce. That means you ask God for wisdom. And you go about the rest of your life praying for wisdom and believing that if you ask for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. Just wait until you hear what to do. But one of the ways you'll recognize it, it's easy to be entreated. And it won't have any hypocrisy in it. James chapter 3, verse 17. Thank you for allowing me to share this with you today.